Good morning. Welcome to our worship service today. We begin with a prayer to our God and Savior. O Lord God, our Heavenly Father, we come into your presence to hear your holy word and to worship and praise you for your great love. May our worship be pleasing in your sight, and we ask you to give us your Holy Spirit to strengthen our faith, to increase our love for you, and to keep us steadfast until that day when Jesus comes again to take us to our heavenly home, to live with you forever in peace and joy. Hear us for Jesus' sake. Amen. You may be seated. Our first hymn for today is Before You, Lord, We Bow. The hymns and readings in order of service are printed in your bulletin if you'd like to follow along. Please rise. I invite you to follow along with our order of service that's printed for you in your service bulletin. We begin on the bottom of page 2. We begin this worship service in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth. If you, O Lord, kept a record of sins, O Lord, who could stand? But with you there is forgiveness, therefore we stand in awe of you. Since we are gathered to hear God's word, to call upon him in prayer and praise, and to receive the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ in the fellowship of this altar, let us first consider our unworthiness and confess before God and each other that we have sinned in thought, word, and deed, and that we cannot free ourselves from our sinful condition. Together, as his people, let us take refuge in the infinite mercy of God, our Heavenly Father, seeking His grace for the sake of Christ and saying, God be merciful to me, a sinner. Let us then confess our sins to God our Father. Most merciful God, we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We justly deserve your present and eternal punishment. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us, forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your holy name. Amen. In the mercy of Almighty God, Jesus Christ was given to die for us, and for his sake, God forgives us all our sins. To those who believe in Jesus, he gives the power to become the children of God, and God gives them his Holy Spirit. May the Lord who's begun this good work in us bring it to completion in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Lord, have mercy. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
We pray. Almighty God, merciful Father, in holy baptism you declared us to be your children and gathered us into your one holy church, in which you daily and richly forgive us our sins and grant us new life through your Spirit. Be in our midst, enliven our faith through your word, and graciously receive our prayer and praise. We pray this through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated. Our two scripture readings for today both deal with God's prophets speaking his word. The word prophet literally means one who speaks for God or a mouthpiece. When we share God's word, we are speaking for God because we're using his words. This first reading for this morning is from Ezekiel chapter 2, verses 1 through 5. Ezekiel was a prophet of God, one who spoke God's words. And this section of verses reminds us that whether people listen to the words we preach to them from the word of God or speak to them from the word of God, what we should remember to do is use those words. Use the words of God so that they know God's word has been spoken to them. A prophet has been among them, like Ezekiel was among the people. Ezekiel chapter 2, verses 1 through 5 says this, "He said to me, 'Son of man, stand up on your feet, and I will speak with you.' The Spirit entered into me as he spoke to me and brought me up to my feet. Then I heard him speaking to me. He said to me, 'Son of man, I am sending you to the people of Israel, to disloyal nations who have been disloyal to me. They and their fathers have rebelled against me to this very day. These children of mine are brazen-faced and hard-hearted. I am sending you to them, and you are to tell them that this is what the Lord God says. Then, whether they listen or do not listen, for they are a rebellious house, then they will know that a prophet has been among them." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Our gospel reading for today is from Mark chapter 6, verses 1 through 6. Glory to you, O Lord. The prophet who is preaching God's word in this set of verses is, of course, the greatest prophet, God's very own Son, Jesus Christ, who is the Word of God made flesh. Unfortunately, the people of his hometown had become, in a sense, too familiar with Jesus. They knew him as the local boy, the carpenter's son, and they began to despise Jesus because they were, in a sense, too familiar with him. May that never be said of us, that even though we come to God's house on a regular basis and hear of Jesus each week, we never become familiar with him, too familiar with him, or despise him and his word. Jesus left there and went to his hometown. His disciples followed him. When the Sabbath came, he began to teach in the synagogue. Many who heard him were amazed. They asked, "Where did this man learn these things? What is this wisdom that has been given to this man? How is it that miracles such as these are performed by his hands? Isn't this the carpenter, the son of Mary and the brother of James, Joses, Judas, and Simon? And aren't his sisters here with us?" And they took offense at him. Jesus said to them, "A prophet is not without honor except in his hometown and among his own relatives and in his own house. He could not do any miracles there except to lay his hands on a few sick people and heal them." He was amazed at their unbelief. And then he went around the villages teaching. This is the word of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Please rise. Let's join now in confessing our faith in the one true triune God with the words of the Nicene Creed, beginning on page 6 in your bulletin. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. You may be seated. We continue with our next hymn, God Has Spoken by His Prophets. Please rise. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from His Son, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who is our strength, even in our weakness, dear fellow redeemed. The text for meditation and application to our daily walk of faith is taken from 2 Corinthians chapter 12. We read verses 7 through 10. The Apostle Paul is writing here and he says, "Therefore, to keep me from being arrogant, due to the extraordinary nature of these revelations, I was given a thorn in my flesh, a messenger of Satan to torment me, so that I would not become arrogant. 3 times I pleaded with the Lord about this, that He would take it away from me. And He said to me, 'My grace is sufficient for you, because my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will be glad to boast all the more in my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may shelter me. That is why I delight in weaknesses, in insults, in hardships, in persecutions, in difficulties, for the sake of Christ. For whenever I am weak, then I am strong.'" These are the words of our Lord. Let us pray. Let the words of our mouths and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Please be seated. What do you delight in? What comes to mind when I ask you, what do you delight in? Is it your children? Maybe your grandchildren? Your family, being out in the beauty of nature. Maybe we think about this past weekend, the fantastic 4th of July fireworks celebration after we gorged ourselves on some delicious grilled food. Maybe spending time doing your favorite hobby, maybe that delights you. Watching your favorite sports team win the championship, or maybe just air conditioning delights you this weekend. These are all things that we'd probably say we delight in, at least to some degree or another. When I ask you that question, did any of you think of things like difficulties, physical ailments and diseases, weaknesses, hardships, persecutions? Has any one of you ever prayed these words, "Thank you, Lord, for the difficulties in my life. I delight in them and would really like you to send more of them my way. Amen." I'm guessing probably not. And yet, how did the Apostle Paul end our text for today? What's the word he uses? He says, "I delight in weaknesses, in insults, in hardships, in persecutions, in difficulties." No, that can't be right. Did Paul really mean delight? I did notice that one particular translation, a very good translation of the Bible, actually translated that verse this way. It said, "I am content with weaknesses, insults, hardships, persecutions, and calamities." So I double-checked the word in Greek to see if maybe that's a good translation for it, and it's really not. The word doesn't mean to be content with. It actually means to be well-pleased with, to take pleasure or delight in, to be glad in. Well, how in the world could the Apostle Paul actually say this? Is he actually being serious here? Oh, yes, he is being serious. And Paul could say these things and even delight in his difficulties because he trusted in Jesus and in Jesus' words. He endured these things for the sake of Christ, as he says in our text. And so we have in this text words from Paul that are a good example for us to follow and help us not just to endure or to be content with the difficulties, the hardships, and the trials that we encounter in this life, but also to be thankful for them. And in the end, actually be delighted that God has allowed us to go through them. In our text, Paul points to a rather particular difficulty that he had. It's a very famous section of Scripture where he talks about this thorn in his flesh. He says, "He has a thorn in his flesh, a messenger of Satan to torment me." That does not sound pleasant, does it? A thorn in your flesh, a messenger of Satan to torment you. Not something that we would delight in. But Paul could be thankful for this thorn in his flesh because he understood why God had allowed it. He trusted that God was going to use this difficulty for his ultimate and highest good. So why did God allow this thorn in Paul's flesh to be there? Well, you see, the Apostle Paul was a man who was very blessed by God, blessed with many spiritual gifts and talents. He was given the ability to speak in tongues and apparently did it more than any of the other people in that Corinthian congregation to whom he was writing. Paul has the distinction of being probably the most successful Christian missionary in history. And he was inspired by God to write more books of the Bible than anyone else. He wrote 13 books of the New Testament. That's almost half of the books in the New Testament. In the first verses of this chapter, and Paul actually references those verses, the first verses of this chapter, Paul recounts how he was given many visions and revelations from God. And one of them appears to even be a vision of heaven. So yeah, we could say Paul was a very blessed man by God, given many spiritual gifts. And because of this, he may have been tempted to have been a bit arrogant, to be conceited. God wanted to prevent this from happening, so he allowed Paul to suffer from this thorn in his flesh. And we don't know exactly what that affliction was. There's a lot of speculation over what it was. It seems to be a physical ailment of some kind. People have speculated maybe it was blindness or a lack of sight. Remember, he was blinded when Jesus came to him and converted him on the way to Damascus. Others feel it may have been some sort of chronic illness, maybe a physical disability, or maybe even a speech impediment. regardless of what that thorn in his flesh was, this difficulty, this disability, kept him humble. It helped him to realize and recognize his limitations as a man. And more importantly, this affliction was a constant reminder that he was a weak human being, that he was completely dependent on the grace of God. Ever been there before? Ever had to deal with a thorn in your flesh? Have you ever faced difficulties in your life? Have you ever felt weak? Well, of course you have. Of course we all have. We are all human beings, just like the Apostle Paul was. Just because he was an apostle of God didn't make him any less human than you and me. We have frailties. We have a fallen, sinful nature, just like Paul did. Whenever we are weak, to use Paul's words, what do we do? Well, Paul shows us in our text the first step we should take when we encounter difficulties or weaknesses or thorns in our lives, whatever they are. And that first step that Paul shows us to take is prayer. We take it to the Lord in prayer. And Paul didn't just pray once. He didn't just say, "Lord, please help me with this," and then went on with his life. Listen how he speaks of his prayer to God. He says, "Three times I pleaded with the Lord about this thorn in his flesh, that he would take it away from me." This is obviously a very troubling ailment to Paul, not something he took lightly, not something that was easy to go through or endure. He calls it a messenger of Satan to torment me. It's pretty serious. No doubt Satan's aim with this thorn in his flesh was to try and tempt Paul to despair, to try to turn him away from trusting God and maybe turn him to be angry with God or question God. "Why are you allowing this physical affliction to be on me? I'm your missionary. Wouldn't I be a better missionary for you, Lord, if I didn't have this thorn in my flesh, this physical problem?" But God had another purpose for this thorn in Paul's flesh. And as always, God was turning evil, Satan's messenger, into Paul's good. When Paul heard God's answer to his prayer in verse 9, he realized that even though this wasn't the answer Paul had been asking for or hoping for, he was content with it because he realized it was for his own spiritual and eternal good. So what was God's answer to Paul's prayer? We know he did not heal Paul from that physical ailment, whatever it was. Instead, God's answer was, "My grace is sufficient for you." God's grace in Christ, his undeserved love, and the salvation he won for Paul by Jesus' death on the cross was more than sufficient to give Paul what he needed in even the hardest of times. But in his infinite love, God also indicated to Paul by these words that his gifts of grace, above and beyond the forgiveness and life and salvation that he gave to Paul, would in fact preserve him, help him persevere and bear up during whatever trials and difficulties might come his way. And it was this grace, not Paul's own power, that he needed to rely on. In the same way, whenever we are weak, remember, God's grace is sufficient. It was sufficient for Paul, it's sufficient for you and me. In his grace, in his undeserved, unearned, unconditional love, he sent Jesus to take away the biggest thorn in our flesh, that is, our sins. Those thorns were impossible for us to bear, and they guaranteed us our condemnation. But Jesus bore our thorns for us. In fact, he bore a crown of thorns for us in order to gain for us the crown of life. And he does that for us and in our lives makes our thorns easier to bear. This assurance that Christ's death has won, what Christ's death has won for us is all that we truly need to make it through this life. No matter how difficult life gets. And yet our God is so gracious and so loving that he has also assured us his grace is sufficient for us, indicating that he will also supply more than just the grace of salvation. He'll supply us with gifts of his grace, the things that we need to overcome the difficulties and thorns of our own lives, whatever they may be. Let's not forget the rest of God's answer to Paul's pleading prayers. There was one more reason why the Lord allowed Paul's thorn in the flesh to continue. In answer to Paul's pleading, God said, "My grace is sufficient for you because my power is made perfect in weakness." By enduring the difficulties of this thorn in his flesh, Paul was able to keep the spotlight very much off of himself and direct it instead on Christ and his power. He says at the end of verse 9, "Therefore I will be glad to boast all the more in my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may shelter me." Paul knew that Christ was glorified through his weaknesses. His grace, his power, his strength were made more evident in Paul's weaknesses, and all glory was given to Jesus. Paul then was more than willing to rely on Christ's strength rather than on his own feeble abilities and his own weakness. That is why he was able to state that profound paradox that concludes our text. "For whenever I am weak, then I am strong." The same is true for us. We can say confidently with Paul, "Whenever we are weak, we are strong in Christ." In other words, when we are weak in ourselves, in our own abilities, our own strengths, our own health or wellness, then I am strong in Christ, relying fully on his grace and his strength. We, like Paul, can also boast all the more in our weaknesses, because in them Christ's power is displayed and not our own. And if I had to ask you, whose power would you rather have? Yours or Jesus's? Christ's power or your power? The answer is easy. We obviously would like Christ's power instead of our own. So when Satan attacks us and uses thorns in our lives and aims for our weaknesses, we can be confident that God is using those difficulties and hard times for our good. And that in our weaknesses, there is where we find Christ's strength, our true strength. God has entrusted each one of us with our own individual sets of experiences, our own individual thorns in our side, just like he gave specific ones or allowed specific ones to happen to the Apostle Paul. Now, in this text, we're shown that God did tell Paul the reason for allowing this thorn in his flesh. However, many times God doesn't give us an immediate explanation as to why he has allowed them in our lives. Can we still trust him, even if he never tells us why? We can. Whenever we are weak, we can turn to the Lord in prayer. We can turn to him for help and pray as Jesus prayed, "Thy will be done," and trust that his answer is always best. Whenever we are weak, God's grace is sufficient. We can remember that all of our setbacks, our difficulties, our hard times, and yes, even our tragedies are all being worked out for our good and for God's glory. We can remember that the God who loved us so much that he would send his own son to suffer and die on that horrible yet wonderful cross to give us heaven will never allow something to happen to us that isn't for our ultimate good, our spiritual and eternal good. Whenever we are weak, we are strong in Christ. God has said to us the same thing that he said to his apostle Paul, "My grace is sufficient for you because my power is made perfect in weakness." Therefore, even in the most difficult of times, hardships, thorns, and weaknesses, we can delight in them because of Christ, or as Paul puts it, for the sake of Christ. And we can say with the Apostle Paul, "For whenever I am weak, then I am strong." Amen. Please rise. And that peace of God which passes all understanding will keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. You may be seated. In our general prayer for today, we'll pray to God to ask Him to help those who are afflicted with various thorns in their lives, both here and in, around our country. We also bring special prayers to the Lord for those who have recently undergone surgeries or are dealing with illnesses of various kinds, including Ida Drews as she continues her recovery from knee replacement surgery, and for Marianne Klock, who is recovering from her pneumonia and COVID over the past couple of weeks. We continue to pray for Terry's friend Rose, who is continuing to regress in her battle with cancer. We ask the Lord to be with her and with her husband, Jim. We bring prayers of thanksgiving for Terry's friend Linda, who got her car fixed. Praise the Lord. We have a mission helper team leaving from Chicago tomorrow to head to countries in East Africa to spread the word of God there. There's more information about that in the bulletin, and you can see their blog as they go about their mission work. We'll pray for them, for their safe travel, and for the success of their message. And this being 4th of July weekend, we'll also be praying for our country. Are there any other prayer requests for today? Let's join our hearts together in prayer. Dear Jesus, our strength and our Savior, be with all of us in the midst of the difficulties, the hardships, the illnesses, the tragedies, and whatever thorns we must face in our life in this sinful world. Remind us that your grace is sufficient to take away all of our sins by your death on the cross, and that your grace will see us through these trials and will glorify you in our lives in the process. Strengthen our faith in you through the thorns we must face, and remind us that whenever we are weak, we can turn to you and rely on your strength. We pray special prayers for all those who have been affected by the recent hurricane, from the flooding and severe storms in various parts of our country. We ask you, Lord, to be their protection, their strength, and comfort in this time of devastation. Help them to recover, and above all, turn their hearts to you in faith. Be with all those who are suffering from illnesses or injuries, and give them healing and relief according to your will. Today we pray in particular for Ida Drews, who had knee replacement surgery. We thank you that you have gotten her through the surgery and pray that you would continue to grant her the gracious balm of healing day by day. Improve her health, and if it's your will, Lord, help her to make a complete recovery. We thank you for the recovery that you've given to Marianne Klock. Help her to recover fully if it is your will and return to this house of worship just as soon as she possibly can. We also pray, Lord, for Terry's friend Rose. Lord, you know that she is dealing with the final stages of her cancer, and it appears as if she only has a few months to live. We pray that you'd strengthen her faith in you during this difficult time and be with and uphold her husband, Jim. Give him the strength and comfort that he needs to endure this difficult trial with his wife. In the end, help them to know that you're with them and that you have heaven prepared for her and all those who love you. We thank you for blessing Terry's friend Linda by allowing her car to get fixed. May it be a blessing to her and may it be another reason to praise you with her heart and her life. Eternal Father, you are the ruler of all nations. We have celebrated our country's birth this past weekend, and in doing so, we thank you for all the spiritual and earthly blessings we have enjoyed in our land. In your mercy, you have sustained this nation in times of trouble. You have preserved many of its liberties. Teach us to treasure especially that dearly won freedom of worship that is the cornerstone of this country's principles. Let us not misuse our liberties or forget that true freedom is found in Christ. Give us willingness to share in the process of democratic rule, to respect our country's laws, and to work for the preservation of its institutions. Forgive our past sins committed as a nation. Grant wisdom and integrity to our leaders. Above all, dear God, speed the course of your gospel among us, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit, hearts are turned, that freedom from sin and death is from you alone, dear gracious Savior, Jesus Christ. Dear Lord of the Church, you rule over all things for the good of your children. We pray that you would shower your blessings of wisdom, love, patience, success, good health, and protection on the mission helper teams that will be traveling to Africa tomorrow and serving with our brothers and sisters in Christ in Kenya, Uganda, Tanzania, and Zambia. We pray that you would bless the gospel message that they preach and teach, and bless those whom they will serve with the gospel in East Africa, including the many children who will hear the gospel message. Bring them to faith in you as their Savior, and strengthen their faith in you through your word throughout their lifetime. Bless us and keep us strong in our faith in your word, through your word as well, and help us to cling to your promises with our whole heart throughout our lives. Come again, dear Jesus, as you have promised, to rescue us from this world that is so full of sorrows and thorns, and take us to our heavenly home with you, who won for us our heavenly home by taking that cross and the crown of thorns in our place. In your saving name we pray these things, dear Savior. Amen. We continue with our next hymn, Why Should Cross and Trial Grieve Me? Please rise. We continue on page 10 in your bulletin with the service of the sacrament. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. We lift them up to the Lord. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right to give him thanks and praise. It is truly fitting, right, and spiritually beneficial that we should at all times and in all places give thanks unto you, O Lord, Holy Father, a mighty everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who promised that wherever two or three come together in his name, there he is with them to shepherd his flock till he comes again in glory. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and singing. We give you thanks, O Lord our God, for the redemption you have prepared for us through Jesus Christ and his cross. Give us your Holy Spirit, that we may faithfully receive the blessings of forgiveness, life, and salvation that come to us in his body and blood. In his name we pray as we now join in the prayer that he taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. We continue with the words of institution. Our Lord Jesus Christ, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, eat, this is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same manner also he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of our Lord be with you always. Amen. You may be seated. At this time, we ask that those who are communicant members of St. Stephen Congregation or of a sister congregation in our church body, the Church of the Lutheran Confession, come forward to receive the Lord's Supper at the direction of our usher. We begin with those who have the communion packets and would prefer to take the Lord's Supper from their pew, and then we'll continue with those who would like to come and take the Lord's Supper here at the altar. I invite those with packets to please take the bread first. Take and eat. This is the true body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, given into death for your sins. And now please take the wine. Take and drink. This is the true blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, shed for you for the forgiveness of all your sins. Now may this, the true body and true blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, Strengthen you and preserve you in the one true faith until life everlasting. Depart in peace. Amen. Now I invite those communicant members who'd like to take the Lord's Supper at the altar to do so at the direction of our usher.
Strengthen you and preserve you in the one true faith until life everlasting. Depart in peace. Savior Jesus Christ, strengthen you and preserve you in the one true faith until life everlasting. Depart in peace.
Please rise. We continue with the singing of the Nunc Dimittis on page 13.
Oh Lord, now.
Receive now with believing hearts the blessing from our Lord. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. I invite you to please remain standing for our closing hymn today, God Bless Our Native Land. You may be seated. Good morning. A warm welcome to all of you in the name of our Savior Jesus Christ. And I pray that you've been blessed through the message that you've heard today. And I pray that you've also had a safe and happy 4th of July weekend. It is a joy and a blessing to see so many visitors with us today from out of town and also from out of state, even out of country. We ask the Lord to give you safe travels back home, and may he be with you as you go about your way. Please sign our guest book in your entryway if you have not done so already, and please come and worship our Savior with us again in the near future. A few announcements from the bulletin. This afternoon we'll be heading to Hayward for our worship service there at 1 p.m., and Bible class will follow at 2. Next Sunday, Bible class here is at the usual time of 9 a.m., worship service at 10, and the Women's Auxiliary will have their meeting next Sunday following the worship service at approximately 11:15. In your mailboxes and on the table in the church entryway is the calendar for July. Please pick one of those up if you would like. I sent out the calendar in an email earlier this week as well. VBS is fast approaching. There's still time to register for children ages 4 through 13. You can register through our school's website. We're still taking donations for our TVBS volunteers, doing some sightseeing with them to Alcatraz and to Santa Cruz while they're here with us during that week. They're excited to come and join us for that. There's also a snack and lunch sign-up sheet. The snack sign-up is for the students during the day, and then the lunch is for the staff, the teachers that are coming to help us out. So please check the sheet in the entryway and sign up for snacks and lunches if you are able to. Keep the Mission Helper trip in your prayers. They're leaving tomorrow, and there are 12 volunteers going with some pastors and our missionaries overseas to help spread the gospel to East Africa is the trip this year. Any other announcements? Yes. Oh, you know what? I was only about 13 prayer requests today, and the one prayer request I forgot to put in is Sue's birthday. Sue Slattengren's birthday is today. We'll ask the Lord's blessings on her quickly, and then we will sing happy birthday to her. Let's pray. Dear Lord, we are thankful for the life that you've given to Sue and for the many blessings you've given to her, for family and friends, and for the blessed assurance of faith in you that gives her the sure and certain hope of heaven. Please be with her and give her a blessed day today and all her days that she may trust in you and draw blessings from you. We ask these things in your name. Amen. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Sue. Happy birthday to you. And many more. Any other announcements for today? May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all.